Hi, my name's Roy, and this is a great day. A great day to celebrate, and a great day to get into God's Word. Please join me in prayer before I read. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word, the Bible. We thank you for the words we're about to hear. Father, may Shepherd's Wharf be a place where your Word continues to go out powerfully, to change lives and to transform communities. Father, help us now to hear your word, to trust in it, and to do what it says. Amen. Friends, our reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, and you can follow along in your booklets on page 6. Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thank you, Roy. Hello, everybody. It's good to be here. Can I add my welcome to the Honourable Donna Davis, the other distinguished guests here, ex-ministers, Stephen Quo, the Parish Development Officer for Anglicare, and the saints here at Shepherd's Wharf. Many call home ownership the Australian dream, right? But if you really want to dream, what type of house would you want to live in? Where would it be? How many rooms would it have? Would it be state-of-the-art or something more homely? Would it have the latest appliances? Fibre to the premises. How about a hot tub with a TV and a bar fridge nearby? One house I know of has 7 bedrooms, 19 bathrooms, odd ratio, enough parking for 20 cars and its own bowling alley. What does your dream home look like for you? And what do you think God is looking for in a home? Is it something like this? Airy, well lit, adequate air conditioning? Or something more traditional with sandstone and pews? Well, in our passage from the Bible, from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the Christians who are living in the city of Ephesus in modern day Turkey, Paul lays out God's grand design for the type of home that he wants to live in. And there are 3 key design features that are worth paying attention to as we open our new home here at Shepherd's Wharf. And the first thing worth noting from God's grand design is that God has made sure that his house is accessible. Come with me to the very beginning of the passage on page 6 there, where Paul begins by saying this in verse 11. He says, "Remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth," the Ephesians were Gentiles, that meant they weren't Jewish. "Remember that because of this, you were, as a result, separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promises, without hope and without God in the world." The Ephesians, as Gentiles, were outsiders, excluded when it came to a relationship with God. They were shut out from God because of who they were. And when you think about it, that is a terrible thing. I mean, just imagine for a moment that you had a disability. Let's just say you needed a wheelchair. And you come to Shepherd's Wharf because I really need to get myself right and back into a relationship with God. And you come here and you discover that we meet on the first floor and that we have no ramps, no lift, or any way to get up. How would you feel if that happened to you? I mean, not only would that be a breach of the building code, you couldn't get a DA through, right? That's why I've got all those access consultants. But, you know, that type of building would send a clear message that you are not welcome. We don't want people like you coming to join us. And that's why, if you didn't know already, that a number of years ago, this Anglican Church here in Sydney developed some guidelines looking at disability, including the way we design our buildings. And the name of those guidelines is titled "Everyone Welcome." Everyone welcome. It's a good read if you haven't had a look at it. But the Ephesians, as Gentiles, were not welcome when it came to a relationship with God. And that's why Paul says they were without hope and without God. But here is the good news. What was true in the past is no longer true today, because God has done something that changes everything. Something that grants access to him no matter who you are. And you'll see that if you turn to verse 13. Paul says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near." You who are on the outside can now come to the inside. How? Paul says this happened by the blood of Christ. And what does that mean? What is Paul talking about? How can a person have a relationship with God? Throughout human history, there's been three basic approaches. Firstly, there's what I call the stick your head in the sand approach, where you pretend there isn't a God, so you don't have to deal with him. Then there is the God and me are mates approach, where you create a God in your own image who agrees with everything you do and say. And then there's the third approach, which is by far the most common, which is the merit approach, where you can earn merit with God by doing certain things or living a certain way. Living a good life, being moral, being upright, getting baptized, giving to charity, earning merit with God so you can somehow get closer to him and get into his good books. But the Bible makes it clear that none of these work. Because there is a God who is the creator of all things. And that rather than God and us being mates, we're actually his enemies. And that there is nothing that we can do ourselves to earn our way back into God's good books. It is not by works, as Paul says earlier back in verse 9. So, if that's the case, what does work? How can a person have a relationship with God? God has to do something, and God does. And it's what he does through the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, where Jesus sheds his blood on the cross on that very first Good Friday, giving up his life, taking on our guilt, providing us his innocence in a great exchange, taking on the punishment we deserve in our place. And by doing so, making us right with God and restoring our relationship with him. Not through our merit or us being good or religious, but only through Jesus and his sacrifice on our behalf. That's how a person can have a relationship with God. And here's the key thing, it makes no difference when it comes to whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, because the blood of Christ is the ultimate equaliser. Verse 18, for through him, Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, everybody, have access to the Father by one Spirit. Jesus flings the doors open to a relationship with God and declares to the world, everyone welcome. That's the first thing we note from God's grand design. God has made sure that his home is accessible. And that leads us to the second thing worth noting from God's grand design, and that is he also wants to be his home to be a place where people come together. He also wants his home to be a place where people come together. That's what many of us want, don't we? That's what we want for our homes. We want to have our homes be comfortable places, places where people can relax, places where we can spend time with friends and family and those we love, around the big screen, around the barbecue, around the kitchen, the lounge room, the games room. But God's grand design goes even further than that, because he also wants his home to be a place where enemies become friends and strangers become family. And his aspiration is a bit like the cliched statement from a contestant in the beauty pageant. What does God want? God wants world peace. And how does he achieve that? Well, you can see it in verse 14. Peace comes about through God himself. Because by sending Jesus to die on the cross for those who trust him, shedding his blood so that everyone is welcome, God does away with the barriers that once kept people apart, because they now all come to God on the very same basis. Have a look at what Paul says in verses 15 and 16. He says, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, by which he put to death their hostility. In other words, what Paul is saying is that what God is doing in achieving this peace is something brand new, which changes the whole way we relate to each other. Because God, through Jesus, in creating this one new humanity, makes it so our personal distinctives and all our past history no longer matter when it comes to the way we view each other. So it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you're Ford or Holden, Apple or Android, Mac or PC, young or old, Aussie or migrant. It doesn't even matter if you support Manly or Melbourne. Sticks in the craw, but it's a biblical truth. No matter who you are, if you trust Jesus, you, like the rest of us, are part of this one new humanity. We are all one in Christ. Paul puts it like this elsewhere in Galatians chapter 3. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And even though some of us here have negative experiences of family, we need to acknowledge that. The idea of being children and in family is one of connectedness, of love, of sharing, of belonging, of warmth. And what Paul is saying here is that given now that all of us have the same Father and all children of God through trusting in Jesus, the peace which seemed impossible and is so rare in this world is now both a reality and necessity as well. Because God has created one new humanity through the blood of Jesus and made his home a place where people come together. And while we see it all the time, how good would it be if that was even more evident in all of our churches? If the first thing people thought of when they thought of a Christian church was peace and people loving each other and people getting on. Because not only does that reflect the difference Jesus makes, it's also what the people in the community around us are looking for. A study from the McCrindle Research in 2017 found that the thing that Australians most valued about the local church was supportive community followed by social connections. People are looking for healthy relationships. People are looking for peace in our churches. And this leads to the third and final thing worth noting from God's grand design. When it comes to the type of God, a home that God desires and is building. And that is, rather than his home being made of bricks or sandstone, God's grand design for his home is made of people. Verse 19. Paul says to the Ephesians, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Where God dwells is made of people. And it's worth noting here from what Paul says that a church without Jesus as its chief cornerstone, Jesus being the reference point from which everything else is derived, and a church without Jesus as the mortar that holds it all together, it's just a glorified shed, little more than a shelter. And a church that isn't founded on the apostles and prophets, a church that doesn't take God's word in the Bible seriously, no matter how it looks or what it says about itself, isn't much better, even if it has air conditioning. And a church without people, brought together by Jesus as one new humanity made possible by what he's done, where everyone is welcome and come to God on the same basis, is not a place that God chooses to live. God's house, God's dwelling, God's dream home is with his people and is his people. It's the people who gather who make a church a church. A church without people is just a building. So there you have it. God's grand design when it comes to the type of home that God is designing for himself to live in. And my prayer for you and for this building here at Shepherd's Wharf is that we reflect that grand design in the way we occupy and use this. That this would be a place that is accessible to all and says to those around us, "Everyone, welcome." That it's also a place where people, all sorts of different people, no matter who they are, come together. So the focus will be on the building, on the people, rather than the building. So more and more people from our community will find a home with God here with us, both now and forever. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the blood of Christ. And we thank you, Father, that through Jesus and his death for us, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, or what you have done, a relationship with you, forgiveness, a fresh start, and the promise of heaven are all now possible. And we pray, Father, that might be reflected in the people who come here and the way we relate to each other. We do pray, Father, that while we are amazingly and terrifically thankful for this brand new building, that while we want to be using it the best that we can, we pray that the focus will be on the people who meet here and those who are yet to join us, so they may be saved and your name lifted high. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.